God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day, to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. And all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. And they said unto Moses, Speak thou with us, that we will hear. But let not God speak with us, lest we die. And Moses said unto the people, Fear not, for God has come to prove you, and that his fear may be before your faces, that ye sin not. And the people stood afar off, and Moses drew near unto the thick darkness where God was. And the Lord said unto Moses, Thus thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, Ye have seen that I have talked with you from heaven. Ye shall not make with me gods of silver, neither shall ye make unto you gods of gold. An altar of earth thou shalt make unto me, and shalt sacrifice thereon thy burnt offerings, and thy peace offerings, thy sheep, and thine oxen. In all places where I record my name, I will come unto thee, and I will bless thee. And if thou wilt make me an altar of stone, thou shalt not build it of hewn stone, for if thou lift up thy tool upon it, thou hast polluted it. Neither shalt thou go up by steps unto mine altar, that thy nakedness be not discovered thereon. Brother Bill, will you pray for us?
Well, Heavenly Father, thank you for the Bible and the words of wisdom here. We just pray for the pastor. We're going to be a 5-month sermon for the Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Is this mic not on? Okay. Just this one? Okay. He did the bulletin perfect, but I just want to thank all the guys for helping and all the ladies for helping clean up the mess and stuff. I appreciate that. All right, the title of the sermon this morning is Thou Shalt Not Bear False Witness. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Let's look down at our Bibles at verse number 16. And obviously this is a very famous passage. It's where the Ten Commandments are found. And the Bible says in verse 16, Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, so much for a great church and for all those people that showed up to hear the word of God this morning. Lord, I pray you'd help me as I preach your word. Fill me with boldness and power. And Lord, the Spirit of God, I pray you'd fill me with the Spirit of God right now and our congregation. And Lord, I just pray that you would just bless them for being here and that they would get a blessing from your word this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So thou shalt not bear false witness. Now, in the Ten Commandments, we have obviously Ten Commandments. But in the Ten Commandments, they're basically kind of an umbrella for the rest of the law. So there's lots of subsections underneath, you know, these commandments. So obviously manslaughter, wouldn't it fall under thou shalt not kill? It's not like they intentionally murdered somebody, but they still killed somebody, and it was still like a negligent thing. So, like, it talks about, like, someone swinging an axe and you You didn't make sure your safety equipment was on, you know, that the axe was safe and secure, and then it falls off and kills somebody. Well, that's your negligence, and and it's just like someone drinking and driving and killing somebody. You know, you didn't intend to do that, but because of your negligence, you killed somebody. And so the Ten Commandments have lots of different umbrellas underneath them. So, and bearing false witness is that umbrella that everything else is underneath, lying and slander and flattery and white lies. You know, they call it white lies, but white lies are like the little fit, like people like to say little fibs, but look, it all still falls under deceit, tail bearing, all these different things fall underneath that umbrella of thou shalt not bear false witness. Now, if someone's bearing false witness, what are they doing? They're lying. They're saying something that's not true. And really, in bearing false witness against somebody can get them killed. It can get them in prison. It can get them in trouble. It can make them lose their job. It has all different types of problems that can fall under the sin of lying. You know what? God hates the sin of lying intensely enough to put it in the Ten Commandments, right? So, and it's obviously, it's one of the most common sins that people do. Because, and sometimes you even lie and you don't even, you know, people don't even realize that what they're doing is just lying. And so I would hope that we'd all take a self-check on where we're at with this. And I've preached other sermons from the Ten Commandments, but I thought this was a good one because we can get, even Christians lie. It's true. Christians lie or tell half-truths or leave out parts of the story or just sometimes they just flat out lie. So let's turn to Matthew chapter 19. Now, a lot of people will say that, and keep, you don't have to keep your finger there, but let's go back to Matthew 19. But a lot of people will say that, oh, the law has been done away in Christ. You know, don't judge me for lying. And it's just, it's an idiotic way to think, okay? Because this is moral law that it's talking about here. This is a moral law. And God is not pleased when someone's just a liar. Now, you probably heard this growing up, and I'm sure this is a common saying even amongst unsaved people. There's two things I really hate, liars and thieves. Who's ever heard that before? Everybody, right? And, you know, in the meantime, that person that's saying that is a liar and a thief. Because everybody's lied. Everybody's told a lie. You know, sometimes you'll get out there and they won't admit that they've sinned before. It's just like, well, maybe once or twice. It's like, you ever lied before? Oh, yeah. Well, then, you know, you're lying right now by saying that you only lied once or twice. It's just ridiculous. But people will be like, oh, well, I try very hard to be very honest all the time. But people lie to themselves, too, don't they? People lie to themselves about how good they are or how they're doing in life. And that's why I said we need to take a self-check and look inside and see, are we committing this sin a lot in our Christian lives? Because if we are, then we need to clean it up. And we need to be honest with ourselves. We need to be honest with God. We need to be honest with our coworkers and the people that we work with and our boss and ourselves together in fellowship. We should be truthful to each other. Now, honestly, sometimes people kind of tempt you to lie. And what I mean by that is sometimes people will say, well, do I look fat in this dress? Or, you know, stuff like that. It's just like, that's not a question. If you know you look fat in the dress, don't ask somebody if you don't want to get an honest answer. You know what I mean? It's like sometimes people ask questions and then they don't want to hear the honest truth about it. And so if we're being truthful, we're like, how's dinner tonight, hon? It was good. You know? Those are hard questions sometimes. We don't want to hurt someone's feelings, but, you know, isn't it more important to be honest? Like, well, could I use a little more salt or whatever? But obviously, you don't have to be a jerk about it. You know, you don't have to be like, that was the worst meal you've ever made. But at least if it is, then you'd be being honest. But don't ask questions that you don't want the answer to, because you might not like the answer, especially if someone's trying to be an honest and straight up and forthright person. Look down in your Bibles in Matthew chapter 19, verse 16. It says, and behold, one came and said unto him, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Was Jesus good? Amen. Then he was God. Amen? But it says, but if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. Now, Jesus is obviously you know, saying this is a true statement. If you wanted to get eternal life, you would have to keep the commandments. But this guy obviously did not keep all the commandments. There's no way that he kept all the commandments from his youth till this time. So I just wanted to give that little caveat here to show you that Jesus is basically teaching him that he does have issues, but he's self-righteous.
Yeah.
And he thinks he's better than everybody else. But and he's also, you know, covetous and wants to stay rich because Jesus tells him to sell everything, and he didn't want to do that. So look at verse 18. It says, he saith unto him, which? So which commandments does he have to keep? Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. So in the New Testament, you have Jesus teaching the commandments. And obviously, I know he hadn't died on the cross yet or whatever. But just because Jesus died on the cross doesn't mean that lying is magically okay now. Just because Jesus died on the cross doesn't mean it's okay for men to wear dresses now. Just because Jesus died on the cross doesn't mean it's okay for people to be perverts now. Just because Jesus died on the cross doesn't mean it's okay to kill people. So the Ten Commandments and a lot of the laws in the Old Testament are moral laws that we're still supposed to keep. God still expects us to keep the commandments, just not for salvation, because nobody is good enough to be saved on their own, and nobody has not committed a sin that would put them in hell. So now bearing false witness is a wicked sin. And sometimes we downplay that even in like in our gospel presentations, you know. But I try to not do that. I just try to make sure that they understand it's a common sin that everybody commits. Like I don't want to downplay that sin is a wicked, or that lying is a wicked sin, because it is. Bearing false witness is a wicked sin. It's part of the Ten Commandments. So obviously it's not something that God just is like, oh, all the other ones are really bad except for this one. It's because it's so common, you know. That's not the way we should look at that. But what we should look at, it like when I go through that list, you know, I'm sure you're not a murderer. You know, don't tell me if you have, because I don't want to tell on you. I say stuff like that. But when I get to that sin of lying, I say, see, you don't have to be super wicked. You just have to be wicked enough. You have to be bad enough. But and then I tell them that, but that is one of the Ten Commandments, that thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt, you know, lying is a wicked sin. And we need to make sure that we understand that as Christians. It's not something, you know, just because we do that one more than probably any other sin, or we've done that sin more than any other sin, it doesn't mean that we should downplay it in that way. So, like I said, there's an umbrella of sins, and bearing false witness is to lie to your neighbor or against your neighbor. So you could lie to them or you could lie against them, and both of them are wrong. And so people that like to, that there's these people called compulsive liars, all right? And a compulsive liar is someone that just lies even though they don't even need to. Like they lie just to kick it or whatever. You know, you shouldn't just lie for no reason. Like, and sometimes, you know, if that's you and you've fallen into that trap, you need to quit and just realize, do a self-check on yourself and say, am I just being untruthful with my mouth all the time? And try to rein that in, because aren't we, you know, we don't repent of our sins to be saved. But shouldn't we repent and be sanctified the closer we get and the further along in our life that we get in our salvation? We should try to repent of those things. And hey, if you have a lying tongue, then you need to rein that in. You know, the tongue can no man tame, the Bible says. So, but you could try your best and ask God for help and say, God, I'm lying too much. I'm lying about things and I need to stop. Will you help me with that?
Amen.
Isn't it funny how we have the God of the universe at our disposal to be able to ask him anything that we want.
Right.
And he says, you know, he wants us to come and ask him.
Amen.
And then we don't. We just want, you know, you might say it within yourself, but saying it within yourself isn't helping you. What, are you trying to do it on your own power? So when we try to repent of the sins that we commit in our lives, are you actually going to God and asking him to help you with it? Or are you just looking inward at your own self and saying, yeah, I can do it on my own. I can fix this. I'm saved. Hey, you got the power of God. You have the Holy Spirit of God, the down payment of your salvation. You have the God of heaven and earth. You have the Lord Jesus Christ, our high priest, that we can go through to the Father. And then people are just like, yeah, I know. I'll get it right. I'll fix it. That's what a lot of people, you know, we self-deceive ourselves into thinking that we can fix our own sins on our own. And in reality, we need the power of God to do that. Because don't we still live in the flesh? Don't we still live this life in the flesh? Absolutely we do. And so every person in this room sins. We still live this life in the flesh, and we still have a spiritual man, and we have the flesh. And the flesh and the spirit are going to fight against each other till the day we die. So how are you going to get how are you going to walk in the spirit if you never even go to God and ask him for help? How are you going to walk in your life daily in the spirit and not have God as the person that helps you in that area? I mean, it's self-deception. Like, lying is it's a broad subject. There's a lot of verses about it, and I'm going to jump into them right now. Let's look at Leviticus chapter 6, verse 2. So it's wrong to lie to your neighbor. It's wrong to lie about your neighbor. It's wrong to lie to each other. It's wrong to lie to your spouse and your children. And it's wrong to lie to your boss and your coworkers. And it's wrong to lie to yourself. So we need to get it under wraps. We need to get it under control. Let's look at Leviticus chapter 6, verse 2. It says, if a soul sin and commit a trespass against the Lord and lie unto his neighbor in that which was delivered him to keep, or in fellowship, or in a thing taken away by violence, or hath deceived his neighbor. See how it's talking about all these lies and deception? Or have found that which was lost, and lieth concerning it, and sweareth falsely in any of all these that a man doeth, sinning therein. So what's he doing? He's like just giving us the full enchilada and just saying, hey, if you've done this, if you lied about that, you know, if somebody lost something and you pick it up and keep it for yourself and you don't tell that person that you found it, you know, sometimes you find stuff and you don't know whose it is. But if someone's looking for that item and you're like, I don't know what happened to it, you know, and it's like it was in your pocket. So not only are you stealing and adding to the sin that you've done, but you're also lying about the fact that you found it. So lie, you know, sin can add unto yourself more sin. And you don't want that. So one sin can beget another one. And lies, trying to keep all your lies straight, can be a full-time job too if you're a big liar. We don't want to be like that, right? It says in verse 4, then it shall be because he has sinned and is guilty that he shall restore that which he took violently away, or the thing which he hath deceitfully gotten, or that which was delivered him to keep, or the lost thing which he found, or all that about which he hath sworn falsely, he shall even restore it in the principal and add the fifth part more thereto and give it unto him to whom it appertaineth in the day of his trespass offering. So, it was talking about when people were getting right and making an offering to atone for their sin, that they were supposed to give that back which they stole and then add a fifth part of money and add that onto it for their troubles, I guess, you know, for the fact that they were wronged. And so, you know, when we lie, it can cause more damage than just the lie itself. Lies affect other people. They affect other people's lives. They affect their livelihoods. And lies actually can get you killed. You know, look at what people, the false witnesses that were trying to get Jesus killed, they didn't care. But what were they doing? They were lying about what he said. God hates lying. He hates it. Turn to Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16. God gives us a list of things that he hates that are an abomination to him. And guess what? Lying and bearing false witness. He adds both of those to the list. Look at verse number 16 in Proverbs 6. It says, these six things doth the Lord hate. It's not just that he's displeased. He hates it, right? Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. So these things are an abomination. God detests them. God hates these things. A proud look, a lying tongue, right? A lying tongue and hands that shed innocent blood, and heart that deviseth wicked imagination, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. So God adds, so these seven things are an abomination to him. And two of the things he adds are basically in the same category or umbrella of the Ten Commandments, right? So, because the Bible says, thou shalt not bear false witness. So that's the commandment in the Ten Commandments. But a lying tongue is underneath that, right? A lying tongue is there. So, like, there is different categories of sin within that umbrella. There's different things, but God hates He detests and hates lying tongues and people that bear false witness. So both of them are lying, but they're doing different actions within that. So like, again, going back to the murder thing, capital murder is when you lie in wait, you plan it out, you're going to murder that person, you intend to do it. It's something that you, it's intent, it's not something that's a rage, passion type thing where you catch somebody committing adultery, your spouse committing adultery, and then you just, you know, just kill them because you're so angry. That would not be a capital crime. That's like a crime of, they call that a crime of passion today. And but the people that do that get in trouble for it, whereas I don't think that they should. You know what I mean? So it's not a death penalty situation for sure. But it's really weird how the government has even started trying, you know, how even like the, I was looking up the laws of Washington, how, you know, they say, well, you can't have a loaded pistol in your car. I think if you have a concealed carry, you can. But if you don't have a concealed carry, then you have to set the gun in view and then have no bullets in it. So I was reading this story about this guy in Vancouver who he was delivering the paper. 4:30 in the morning, he comes back to his car after he throws a couple papers out, and some guy's sitting in his car. It's like, hey, what's up? You know, I mean, what do you say to that? So the details were not clear about what happened, but that guy was a concealed carry. He had a card for concealed carry through the state of Washington, and guess what? The guy that got in his car ended up getting shot and killed. You know, why? Because he was protecting his own life. So, but, you know, they're going to run that guy through the ringer. Because, you know, even though he had a concealed carry, they're going to want to know all the details about it. And obviously, you know, the cops have to do their due diligence and make sure that it wasn't just some setup or something that he just wanted to kill this. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's all kinds of angles that people think about. But if you just say, if the guy has some weirdo gets in your car at 4:30 in the morning, their intents are probably not something good.
Right.
But you have, like, this weird paradox of the government saying that the people that have guns, that they're registered and all that, they put all these weird restrictions on people. So what if he didn't have a concealed carry permit? What are the cops going to ask him then? They're going to say, well, where'd you get the gun? You know, why? How'd you get the bullets in it to shoot the guy? You see how they unprotect someone unless you have this card that says you have the right to protect. What? You should have the right to protect yourself regardless. You know, if you're backpacking, you have to have a fishing license or hunting license to carry a gun in your backpack. That's ridiculous. What about the people that are just hiking for, you know, hiking purposes? And then some serial killer comes and tries to kill them and they shoot them. You know what I mean? So this world is topsy-turvy with all this stuff.
Yeah.
You should have the right to protect yourself. And what the point is that sometimes people get in trouble that don't deserve to get in trouble for actually killing somebody. So that guy's going to get run through the ringer. Because he was a law-abiding citizen with a concealed carry, but if he didn't have one, he'd probably be going to jail.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, isn't that wrong?
Yeah.
Anyway, it has nothing to do with the sermon, but it made me mad, so I wanted to bring it up. But anyway, God hates lying. God hates it. Turn to Romans chapter 7, verse 13. So God hates lying. It's an abomination unto him. But the law was put in place. Why is this law in the Bible? Well, because God wants us to understand that it's very sinful. Romans chapter 7, verse 13, look what it says. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid, but sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. God shows us the sin in the law and shows us this through the Ten Commandments so that the sins that we commit become exceeding sinful. We want to understand that God's commandments are something that we should take. We should look introspectively at ourselves and understand that these things are something that we need to understand that are exceeding sinful. It's not just no big deal, okay, when we commit a sin. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 5. Go ahead and turn to Proverbs chapter 14. Proverbs 14, verse 5 says, a faithful witness will not lie, but a false witness will utter lies. Look at verse 25. A true witness delivereth souls. That'll preach right there. True witness delivereth souls. Hey, when we're witnessing for the Lord Jesus Christ, we're going to bring souls forth. Obviously, that might be the secondary interpretation, the spiritual interpretation, but, you know, telling the truth could get somebody off the hook, you know? And there's these people that have this, I'm not going to tell, you know? You think about, like, neighborhoods like South Boston, where they tell the police, I don't know, I didn't see nothing, I don't know nothing. You know, and these neighborhoods that, like, they have this no snitching policy because, you know, if you snitch, then the neighborhood people will beat you up or kill you or whatever. But the Bible says a true witness delivers souls. It's important for us to tell the truth when it's the right thing to do, right? When it's always the right thing to tell the truth in most cases, but I'll get to that at the end of the sermon. But it says, but a deceitful witness speaketh lies. And so that's what we don't want to be, is a deceitful witness. If someone calls you to court, don't lie. Tell the truth. Now, Proverbs 19, verse 9 says, a false witness shall not be unpunished. Shall not be unpunished, and he that speaketh lies shall perish. Isn't that what the Bible ultimately teaches? Any sin that we commit, we're ultimately going to perish because of that. And lying is not anything different than that. Turn to Proverbs chapter 29. Actually, turn to Proverbs chapter 30. I'll read Proverbs 29, 12. Proverbs 29, 12 says, if a ruler, hearken to lies, all his servants are wicked. So, you know, I guess we know what the deal is with Joe Biden's people, right? Yeah. The ruler hearkens to lies. You know, I mean, everything he's done in the last 4 months is just lie after lie after lie. And it's just getting worse and worse, all the stuff he's coming up with. But all of his servants are wicked too. That's what that should tell you. Proverbs 30 verse 8 says, remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me. So that's something that vanity and lies is something we should remove far from us. Psalm chapter 40. You go to Psalm chapter 40. Psalm chapter 40 says, blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. So blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust. That's number one. Respecteth not the proud, number two, but it says, nor such as turn aside to lies. There's people that want to turn people aside with lies. And that would be outside interference as far as people trying to turn us aside with lies. People, this is what I found being a pastor, and it is very difficult to deal with sometimes just because, you know, nobody likes to be lied about. Nobody likes to be maligned about things. But I'll tell you what, pastors, they take some heat. And it's not fun sometimes to just sit there and listen to people lie about you all the time and tell false things about you all the time. And then, like, you know, if I was trying to defend every lie that someone told about me, it'd be a full-time job on top of being a pastor. Yeah. Because that's just how much people lie. And, like, people, but that's the thing, is that people are blessed when they don't let someone turn them aside with lies. Amen. Don't let someone turn you aside with lies. And, like, I would just say this, you know, people talk a lot of smack about the pastors, and this pastor right here that's talking to you right now, they talk a lot of smack and they lie about a lot of things. It's like, and then every liar will tell some kind of half truth and make it seem like, oh, this might be legit. But I'll tell you what, I'm not going to sit there and just defend every single lie that's told about me, but you should know this, that if you ever have a question about something about me, you come to talk to me about it. Amen. Don't just believe some stupid video that some idiot makes about your pastor. Amen. Because how often have people just lied and lied? You know what? They just don't care. You know what? Reprobates do not care that they're lying about people or destroying their lives in some way, shape, or form. They don't care. They would be happy to see me go down in flames. And that is the hard position. You know, I hope you pray for this pastor right here, because people are trying to destroy us and destroy me and my wife and my children. And people are just trying to destroy this church. So don't turn aside to lies. Don't turn aside to lies. But people will lie. And people will just malign you and try to say all manner of evil against you. But that's what they did to the Lord Jesus Christ too, right?
Yep.
So I shouldn't be surprised about that. But I would say that probably the Lord Jesus Christ is a little more able to take that stuff than most men, right? So than all men. Psalm chapter 58, verse 3 says, The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies. And look, let me just park it here for a second too. Your kids lie.
Yep.
Don't be that parent that's like, oh, my kid wouldn't lie about that. They always tell me the truth. No, they don't. No, they don't. You need to do your due diligence and don't let your children get away with lies
either.
You know, and sometimes, you know, obviously a lot of times your children probably are telling the truth. But like if there's some kind of controversy, don't just immediately take your kid's side on everything. They could be lying. Because what's the Bible say? That as soon as they come forth from they're estranged from the womb, they go astray as soon as they be born speaking lies. Now, obviously, most kids don't speak as soon as they come out of the womb, all right? But what the Bible's just trying to say is that as soon as they have the opportunity, they are, right? So they will speak lies. They'll tell you big whoppers, and they'll convince you with their tears, but mommy, I would never do that. And then they're like, oh, I know you wouldn't, honey. You gotta do your due diligence. And if you let your children just get away with lying all the way up and that everybody else is wrong and your kids are the ones that are right, then guess what? Your kid's gonna grow up to be a little lying monster.
Yep.
There, I said it. Your kid's gonna be a lying monster. And look, most people are gonna take their kids back on everything. But look, as Christians, we need to think differently.
Yeah.
We need to think differently because that's what the world does.
Right.
They believe every lie their kids tell them. They believe every lie that their kids are saying, and we need to do our due diligence and make sure. I've done that, and my wife was like, they're telling the truth. I'm just throwing her under the bus today. But I'm sorry, honey, I love you. But there's been times when she was like convinced that they were telling the truth, and then like I did some major investigations. I broke out the special victims unit and had to really go to town on them. And I cop interrogated them. And they broke, just like the criminals that they were. And I have ways of persuading the truth out of them. But they'll lie to you and they'll convince you. But you can't, I mean, obviously your kids are going to get away with telling lies to you sometimes. You're going to believe some whopper that they told you all the way till your deathbed, probably. But what I'm telling you is this, if you let them get away with every lie, you're not helping them.
Right.
You're hurting them, and you're turning them into a sociopath.
Right. Yeah.
Because if you believe everything your kids say, and you need to check them, and you need to say, look, you're lying right now, stop it. And then you need to spank them.
Yes.
All right, and obviously age-appropriate spanking. If your 1.5-year-old didn't clean a room or something, you know, you're not going to take out a tree and beat them with it, right? Age-appropriate spanking. But look, they're going to come out. They're going to tell lies. No one's going to have to teach them. Well, where are they learning to lie like this? The Bible says they just do it right away. They just come out as soon as they go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies. Look at Psalm chapter 62, verse 3. Psalm chapter 62, verse 3. How long will you imagine mischief against a man? Ye shall be slain, all of you, as a bowing wall shall be, and as a tottering fence. They only consult to cast him down from his excellency. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly. You know, we don't want our kids to turn into that, and we don't want to turn into that either.
Yeah.
That where we delight in lies, look, it's a slippery slope. Sin is going to take you farther than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and make you pay more than you're willing to pay. And so we don't want to get into the slippery slope of just lying. Because let's just be honest, you get away with most of your lying, don't you? But you know what? You have to be honest with yourself when it comes to that. And then you need to go to the Lord and ask him to forgive you. Turn to Psalm 63, verse 11. Psalm 63, verse 11. Trying to make it easy on you here. Psalm 63, 11 says, but the king shall rejoice in God. Every one that sweareth by him shall glory. But the mouth of them that speak lies shall be stopped. One day that person's lies are going to be stopped. And people that are these compulsive liars, eventually they get challenged. Eventually, you know, they get to where someone proves that they're lying about something. And God's going to stop that mouth. He's going to shut them up. And ultimately, in the end, they're going to get shut up. But, like, who knows those people that, like, they know a better, they've done, if you've done something, they've done it bigger and badder and more impressive than you ever thought about being. How dare you bring up that story in my presence, because I'm way better than you at all this stuff. And those people are one-uppers. You know, one-uppers isn't a term found in the Bible, but one-uppers, they ultimately, what are they doing? They're lying about themselves just to look cool. Like, there's a compulsive, I've told you about the compulsive liar that I, there's one that I work with that's a compulsive liar. And, like, he was literally telling me that he fought a guy my size, and, you know, he's just a regular size guy, and that when he was fighting him, the only way he could win is by breaking his hands. And so, like, when the guy was, like, going to hit him, he dropped his head down and busted his first hand, you know. And then, like, the guy came in again with his other hand, and then he put his head down and busted the other hand, and, you know, it really hurt. But I broke both of his hands. I was like, yeah, I saw that movie, too. It's called Gladiator. But it was not the Gladiator with Russell Crowe. It's the Gladiator with Brian Dennehy. But anyway, I'm not trying to get you to watch that movie. I'm just saying, I saw that movie, too, bro. And that's what he does. Brian Dennehy beats this guy and breaks both of his hands by putting his head down like that. He just didn't think I saw that old cornball movie. But I did. And you know what I did? I called him out. I went, time out. And in front of everybody, I made him look really dumb. And I only did that because the guy just always lies. And so, you know, it's hard to just call somebody. He also is a millionaire. He also was a police officer. You know, all this stuff that he just lies about all the time. But when I had the chance to call him out, I did. And now God's going to stop people's mouths like that sometimes when they're just compulsive liars. Look at Psalm 101, verse 7. Psalm 101, verse 7. You know what? I talked about this on Wednesday with Verity, how God doesn't have to let anybody in his house that he doesn't want to. Right. Just like you don't have to let anybody in your house that you don't want to.
Right.
When someone knocks at your door, do you invite every single person in? No. You have the people that are in your family, in, right? And God's the same way.
Yeah.
If you're born again, you're part of God's family.
Amen.
And so he's going to let the people in his house that he wants to in there, and those are the people that are his family.
Right.
And everybody here has their own house, and you're going to let your family in, right? God's the same way. Look what it says. He that worketh deceit shall not dwell within my house. Right? And so it says, he that telleth lies shall not tarry in my sight. You know what there's not going to be in heaven? Liars. There's not going to be people that lie up there. You know what? God doesn't have to let them in. Now, we are all liars, but we have the blood of Christ that covers our sins. And we're justified by the blood of Christ, just as if I'd never sinned. So when we go to heaven and we have our new glorified bodies, we're not going to sin anymore.
Amen.
But God is not going to let just anybody dwell in his house. That's why people are like, oh, how could a loving God send someone to hell? Well, he loves us enough to keep those people away from us.
Yep. Right.
Why would he have to let them in his house?
Right.
You know, that's like saying, hey, you know, here's these people that, you know, we decided, you know, the prison release, we have a new prison release system. And the prison release system is we're going to let all rapists move in with families with young daughters. I mean, that'd be weird, right?
Yep.
That'd be wrong. You shouldn't have to put up with that. And God doesn't have to put up with it either. And he's not going to. Look at Psalm 119, verse 69. Psalm 119, verse 69. The Bible says, the proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep thy precepts with my whole heart. And, you know, God, you know, the psalmist here is saying, you know, the proud have forged a lie against me. You know, don't get bothered by that. Even your family members are going to lie about you. I've had family members lie about me just because we started this church. I was the next David Koresh. You know, I just wanted to let you know that after church, I'm going to assign everybody to be gun dealers. And then we actually bought some property in the woods. So if anybody wants to come, then, you know, that's ridiculous. I mean, someone said that I was the next Jim Jones. Our own family member said that, you know, I'm like Jim Jones. Okay. Well, first of all, Jim Jones wasn't saved.
Right.
Jim Jones was a communist. I'm not a communist. Jim Jones was a faggot. I'm not a faggot. And Jim Jones was just a weirdo, and he went and murdered a bunch of people out in the middle of nowhere. I mean, We're going to have Kool-Aid after the service. I just wanted to let you know. But
I mean, how stupid.
But that's just you know, people are going to lie about you too. They're going to lie about things about you and your family. You know what? And you don't have to put up with that. But, you know, we don't always have to defend every wrong that happens to us either. Because like I said, it'd be a full-time job for me to just to keep up with the lies that are being told about me on a daily basis. You know, I see them. I hear them. And you're going to have those same things told about you too. So think about it. When people are trying to lie about you all the time, you don't always have to defend yourself. But, you know, sometimes you do. Sometimes you have to keep that, check that family member, because they might be saying something that's really bad about you, and you need to, sometimes you do need to defend yourself. But you don't need to defend yourself about every single thing. Turn to John chapter 8, verse 44. Now, we need to understand all, obviously, also where the sin of lying comes from. And the sin of lying actually is straight from the devil himself. That's what the Bible teaches. Lies are of the devil. So why would God hate lying? Well, because it's something that the devil did. Something the devil does continuously, lies to people. The Bible says that he deceives the whole world, right? And so we also need to be on guard and understand that truth also. But where are these lies coming from? From the devil. Look at verse 44. It says, "You're of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father will ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth." You see, he was in the truth at one point, but he abode not there. He got away from the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. So people will say, you know, people will call the devil the father of lies. That's a good title because that's what he is. He's a liar and he's the father of it. And so that's why God hates it so much. God hates lying. Do you think he hates the devil? Absolutely, he hates the devil. He's going to throw him in hell for all eternity. So turn to Acts chapter 5, verse 1. Acts chapter 5, verse 1. So we understand that lies are also, that lies are from the devil. And look, he's deceiving the whole world. And so it shouldn't, you know, be some strange thing for us to see that the whole world, you know, we're like, how can they believe that? Because they're deceived by the devil. I mean, yeah. How has the world gone so crazy? Because they're deceived by the devil's lies. Yeah. You know, is climate change legit? No, it's a lie. You know, they're talking about in Washington State, like, banning gasoline cars by 2030. You know, so everybody's going to have some electric car. What are you going to do I was just thinking about Brother Joe's work trucks. How are you going to run a work truck on electric power? They better come up with some really good technology by then. And you know what? Then, guess what? Their little tree-hugging selves are going to realize that most of the power that we actually get is from coal-fired plants.
Yeah.
And so when you're plugging things in, saying, "Oh, look at my green energy car." And it's actually, you're burning coal more than it was ever burnt before. And all that stuff's going into the atmosphere. But see, they don't want to tell you that because it's all just a big stack of lies.
Yep.
You know who the first billionaire was from the green energy movement? Al Gore. Wasn't he the one that was preaching the climate? Yep. But this, I forget what year it was, but he said that we're going to be underwater. Yep. Guess what? We're not underwater. Guess what? Every time I go to Haystack Rock, the water still comes into the exact same place that it did when I was 4 years old.
Yeah.
How do you explain that? No, because climate change is a lie. Amen. That's just science.
Yep.
You say, "I believe in science." Well, I believe it too. And I believe that the tide still comes into the same spot that it did when I almost drowned there when I was 4 years old. Okay? So, you're like, "No, that's not true, Pastor Thompson." Someone's going to email me. Someone's going to leave a comment. "I measured it. It was 0.2 centimeters more the last time." Shut up. Tide still comes into the same place. And they're like, "Oh, the snow caps, you know, or the polar ice caps, they melt, and, you know, we're going to be underwater." Not true. So, you know, maybe what's hurting everything is just, you know, obviously man is polluting the earth, but the earth is going to stand. The seasons are going to stand.
Yep.
Sunshine and rain, you know, all the things that got, all the seasons are going to still be in place forever. So that's, you know, you just know that you can count on the Bible. You don't have to worry about what Al Gore says about the ice caps. So I had to turn to Acts 5. Look at verse 1. So we should not lie to God. And this is very important here,
yeah.
Also, because, you know, we lie to each other, we lie to ourselves, we lie to other people. But, you know, lying to God is something like, if you have a problem lying to God should not be one of the problems.
Right.
I'm sure we do. We're sinful people. We probably lie about a lot of things that we don't even realize we lie about. But look at verse 1. It says, "But a certain man named Ananias and with Sapphira his wife sold a possession and kept back part of the price. His wife also being privy to it and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet." Nothing wrong with that. It says, "But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and keep back part of the price of the land?" So what has Ananias and Sapphira done? They lie. Satan filled their heart, the father of lies, to lie to the Holy Ghost and say, "Hey, we're gonna sell all of our property and we're gonna make a show and make it seem like we're giving everything at the apostles' feet," but in reality, they're lying to God and they're lying to their fellow man and keeping back part of the price. Now look what it says: "Whilst it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God." See, there's a difference, you know, between lying unto men and unto God. And ultimately, they did lie to the men. But what he's saying is that your biggest transgression here is that you lied to God. "And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost, and great fear came on all them that heard these things." So, if lying's not wrong in the New Testament, then why did God kill Ananias and Sapphira?
Right.
He actually killed them for lying. Right. So lying is a sin that God can kill you for, and he will kill you for. Now, obviously, this is an example to put fear into our hearts about this issue. It's a good one. Because, you know, they lied and then dropped dead. His wife comes in and drops dead for saying the same lie not too long after that. Apparently, they had different burial standards back then because they just walked out and buried him without, you know, I don't know. I was thinking about this, how strange that would be if, like, we were all in church and, like, somebody dropped over dead and we're like, "Hey guys, go bury them in the backyard." And then, like, the wife comes in. Like, that's just not something that would happen these days, but they had a little more freedom to do burials back then without people's permission, I guess. But, you know, the ultimate thing that you need to learn from this, though, is that lying to God is something that he hates. And he doesn't want, obviously, us to lie to him. And so don't be surprised if God punishes us for lying to him. Now, he's not going to make every person that lies to him drop dead, but it is a warning to us to understand we shouldn't be lying to God. So don't do things for show. That's ultimately what they were doing. They want everybody to think, "Oh, look how spiritual they are. Look, they sold everything and gave it." No, they lied. They kept back some of the money for themselves, which wasn't wrong.
Right.
It wouldn't be wrong to do that, but the fact that they lied about it, that's what God was angry about.
Yeah.
So we need to be the same way. Don't come back lying about your soul winning. You know, "I got 5 saved." Sure you did. Well, I mean, it happens. Okay, I got 20 saved in an hour and a half. Can you believe that? No, I can't. You know, were you in the Philippines? Okay, well, I might believe you then. Were you in Hawaii? Yeah, that's believable. But in Vancouver, Washington? No. All right, you guys know that. So, and don't be surprised with the lies of the devil's kingdom. Because, look, this big deception is already upon us with all these other things in the world, but it's going to get worse.
Yeah.
Turn to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14. The Bible says, in Ephesians 4, verse 14, it says, "That we hence be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by" what? "The sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive." And unpacking this verse is, you know, look, there's men out there that are lying in wait to deceive us. So be careful who you're listening to. Be careful the pastors that you listen to online, because that one pastor online can be saying stuff that sounds true, and then all of a sudden they just pack some lie in there that turns you aside.
Right.
How about, like, lying about alcohol?
Yeah.
There's pastors that will lie and say, you know, and most, you know what, the Baptists are the only teetotalers really left. You know, maybe the Mormons, but, like, I think that, do the Mormons drink? I don't think they do. But I've known a lot of Mormons that do drink. So, but in most cases, like in real mainstream Christianity, Baptists are really the only ones that are teaching that alcohol is sin to drink. So we don't want to sit there and be deceived by someone. What if someone is preaching and they're like, oh yeah, it's okay to drink alcohol as long as you do it in moderation, and then that person's an alcoholic and you've caused that brother to stumble. And so they'll lie and wait and deceive people. That there's all kinds of doctrine that people will lie and wait and deceive about, but we shouldn't be children that are tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. Be, you know how you're going to be secure in what you know? Well, you know, the people in Berea, they looked in the scriptures to see whether those things were so. So if I preach a sermon and you're like, oh, no, that doesn't really sound right, and you go home and read the scriptures about it, hey, you know, and sometimes I make mistakes. You know, and I don't have a problem with people coming to me and letting me know I made a mistake. You know, there's mistakes. Everybody makes mistakes in their preaching.
Yeah.
But if I just kept sitting there saying, you got to repent of your sins to be saved, that's a big mistake, isn't it? But, it, you know, just to let it pass by and it's not a big deal. No, that should be a cue to you that there's something wrong with me, right? So, and it says in Colossians 3:9, lie not, turn to 2 Thessalonians 2. In Colossians 3:9, it says, lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. So, look, the kingdom of heaven, we shouldn't be lying to each other. There's people out there that are lying to us and trying to deceive the multitudes. There's a lot of many false prophets out there that are doing this, but we ourselves, the saved Christians, we should not be lying one to another. And we should have put off that old man and his deeds. That means we're trying to get better. We're trying to get sanctified. We're trying to do what's right. And lying one to another is one of those things we shouldn't be doing. But the kingdom of the devil, their whole game is deception.
Yeah.
Look at 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 7. It says, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way, and then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and what? Lying wonders. So in the future, there's going to be these lying wonders, these miracles, but they're a lie. They're not really from God. But what are they going to be saying? They are from God. And it says, with all deceivableness. That's a lot of deceivableness, isn't it? All deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. See, when people won't get saved, people don't get saved, well, then they get deceived. They stay deceived or they get deceived even worse. And then they get this reprobate mind that I'll be talking a lot about tonight. But they get this reprobate mind, and they're tricked, and then they start deceiving each other also. It's a big trash cycle that they do. But look at verse 11. It says, for this cause God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. Isn't that funny how that works? God's going to allow them to, you know, you don't want to believe the truth. You want to just reject the truth. You want to reject the Savior. You want to reject God. You want to reject the truth of God's word. Well, you know what? Why don't you just believe this lie then? He's going to allow them to believe a lie. And he's going to send strong delusion. Isn't that funny how that, and people are like, God wouldn't. Yeah, he does. That's what it says, right? God's going to allow them to be deceived. Why? Because if they don't want to believe the truth, there's no in-between. You're either going to believe lies or you're going to believe the truth.
Yeah.
Roman, turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. I'm going to read Romans 1:25. Romans 1:25 says, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the creator, who's blessed forever. Amen. See, these reprobates and these false teachers and these bad people in the world, they change the truth of God into a lie. Think about all the areas of life where the truth of God has been turned into a lie. Just all the false religion, all the false systems that we live under. It's all a lie. It's a big spider web of deceit that the devil has spun. And God's going to allow people to believe that lie. He's going to allow them to get this strong delusion. Now look what the Bible says also in 1 Timothy 4, verse 1, it says, Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. What is that ultimately saying? Well, these spirits are going to try to seduce people. What is that deception?
Yep.
It is. It's lies. It's deception and doctrines of devils. They're going to believe not the truth, but doctrines of literal demons. Okay? Speaking lies in hypocrisy. There's speaking lies. Having their conscience seared with a hot iron. So there's false prophets, there's false teachers out there that are literally speaking lies, and then they're being hypocrites about it. But this system that's coming upon the world and is already upon it, you know, we can see through those lies because we're children of God, but we should not be deceptive ourselves. Turn to Titus chapter 1, verse 2. Titus chapter 1, verse 2. And here's the thing about God, in his nature, God cannot sin.
Yeah.
People say, no, he can sin. He just doesn't want to. No. No, he can't sin.
Right.
He can't sin. Look at Titus 1, 2. It says, in hope of eternal life, which God that, what's it say? Cannot lie. It doesn't say, no, he could, but he just doesn't want to. No, it says he cannot lie. It's not in his nature. Promised before the world began. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 18. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 18. It says that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie. Not only he cannot lie, but it says it's impossible for God to lie. It's impossible. He can't do it. So that's the nature of God. And like, what does he want his children to do? He wants us to follow in his footsteps. He wants us to follow after him. So why would he want a bunch of people that are called by his name to be a bunch of liars?
Right.
He doesn't. He doesn't want that. He wants us to get better. He wants us to trust in him to help us get better and not sin by lying. James chapter 3, verse 14. James chapter 3, verse 14. And people are so self-deceptive sometimes, or want to live in a sin that they're doing, that they will lie about the truth to try to justify what they're doing.
Yeah.
So look what it says in James chapter 3, verse 14. It says, but if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. Just because you're bitter about something that's in God's word, just because you're envying something or somebody, you're not supposed to have strife in our heart. We're not supposed to have strife in our hearts. It says, glory not and lie not against the truth. Just because you want to do that sin, don't try to make up some fake doctrine and go to certain verses to try to make it seem like it's okay to do something.
Right.
This is what people that are divorced do all the time. Like, they'll always come to me, well, Pastor, I know what you teach about this, and I know that, you know, we believe this and that about divorce. And then they'll be like, well, my situation is this. And then they'll try to, like, say something that happened with their particular situation that makes it okay. They're the exception to the rule. That really doesn't apply to them. And they deceive themselves. They lie against the truth. The truth is, you know, if you're divorced and you remarry, it's adultery. That's what the Bible teaches. And so, look, I'm not trying to beat people up that have done that. I'm just saying that that's what the Bible says, and we shouldn't try to deceive ourselves by lying against what the truth actually is.
Yep.
It's lying. You know, I mean, that's a really dangerous one. To sit there and lie about things that you know, you're just trying to make something up so you can be the exception to the rule. Well, don't try to do that. Just accept the truth at face value for what it says. Turn to Revelation chapter 21, verse 27. Revelation chapter 21, verse 27. See, people will try to justify their sin, but you know what? One, you know, and just switching gears here, one lie is going to send anybody to hell.
Yes.
Look what it says in verse 27. It says, there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. And in chapter 22, verse 15, it says, for without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. So it's saying a lie in both those verses. So just one lie is enough to get you thrown into hell. Mm-hmm. Just one lie. But we look, people tell multitudes of lies. God just making it very clear that if you're a liar, you're not going to heaven. And so in Revelation 21, verse 8, which is the one I mentioned earlier, let's go ahead and turn over to Revelation 21, 8. Well, you're already in 21, but look at verse 8. It says, "But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars," which would put everybody on equal ground, "shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." So it's a very serious sin. One lie is enough to put you in hell, and one lie is going to make you a sinner also. So, you know, we need to make sure that we drive that point home with people. I think using that, a lie, is the best way to get someone to admit they're a sinner. That's what I believe. And it's the most common sin. Everybody lies. But we should clean up our act as Christians and not be that guy. Now, I just want to say there's a caveat that I have to that it's always wrong to lie, and it's in Scripture. There's sometimes when it is appropriate or acceptable, I shouldn't say appropriate, but acceptable to lie. So you're like, what are you talking about, Pastor Thompson? Well, turn to Exodus chapter 1. And this would be in the case of preserving life. Because if you're so honest that you're just going to let your whole family get killed, then you're not, that's, you know, which one's worse? You know what I mean? And sometimes people, the devil and his minions, will use the truth to try to trip us up to the point where we would destroy ourselves in this way. But look at Exodus chapter 1. Let me get there myself. Exodus chapter 1, verse 15. This is talking about the midwives. So the children of Israel, after Joseph, you know, they got put into hard bondage. And they started to multiply because they were being persecuted. And that's kind of a principle in the Bible, even as believers. When we start to get, you know, we start to get persecuted, then we also multiply. And so the devil doesn't want that to happen. But look what happens in verse 15. It says, "And the king of Egypt spake to the Hebrew midwives, of which the name of one was Shifra and the name of the other Pua. And he said, when you do the office of the midwife to the Hebrew women and see them upon the stools, if it be a son, then he shall kill him. But if it shall be a daughter, then she shall live. But the midwives feared God and did not as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the men children alive." So the king, the ultimate ruler in the land, told them, when the men children are born, kill them. So are we supposed to kill people? No, obviously not. That's like post-birth abortion or whatever. And it says, and the king, it's infanticide, you know, it's murder. And it says, and the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said unto them, why have you done this thing and have saved the men children alive? And the midwives said unto Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not as the Egyptian women, for they are lively and are delivered ere the midwives come in unto them. So right here, are they lying or are they telling the truth? They're lying, aren't they? It says, therefore God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and waxed very mighty. So what did God do for them lying about that to save the men children alive? He blessed them. So that would be the caveat to protect life. Turn to Joshua chapter 2. I'm almost done here. Joshua chapter 2, verse number 1. Joshua chapter 2, verse number 1. So, and actually, the Bible says that God had houses built for the midwives too. So, like, he really blessed them for what they did. And what they do, they preserved life. They saved people's lives. Joshua chapter 2, verse 1 says, now after the death of Moses, I'm in the wrong chapter. Joshua the son of Nun sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, go view the land, even Jericho. And they went and came in unto an harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, behold, there came men in hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country. And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, Bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thine house, for they be come to search out all the country. And the woman took the two men and hid them, and said thus, There came men unto me, but I wist not whence they were. So in that verse, are they telling the truth or are they lying? I mean, is she telling? She's lying, right? And it came to pass about the time of the shutting of the gate when it was dark that the men went out, and whither the men went, I wot not. Pursue after them quickly, for you shall overtake them. Another lie, right? But she had brought them up to the roof of the house and hid them with the stalks of flax which she had laid in order upon the roof. And the men pursued after them the way to Jordan unto the fords. And as soon as they which pursued after them were gone out, they shut the gate. So here's another instance where God, you know, we know that, and I don't have time to get into the rest of the story, but basically God spares the life of Rahab. And she actually becomes one of the relatives of the Lord Jesus Christ. And she's in the genealogy. And so her whole family was saved because what? Because she didn't tell where the spies went. And she actually lied to the king, her own king, to what? Preserve life. So in this instance, lying was not wrong. It was right, and it was blessed by God. So, and then Judges 16, verse 10, I'll just read it for you. Go ahead and turn to Zechariah chapter 8, and we'll close on Zechariah chapter 8. But Judges chapter 16, verse 10 says, And Delilah said unto Samson, Behold, thou hast mocked me and told me lies. So Samson lied to Delilah about what? The secret of his strength. And it says, Now tell me, I pray thee, wherewith thou might be bound. So ultimately, Samson tells her the truth because she just wears him down. You know, she's a... Anyway, I'll get into that later. Some other sermon. But she was a bad person, okay? And so what was she trying to do? She was trying to find out the strength of Samson so that he could be killed. That's ultimately what she was doing. And so Samson was lying to her. And so I don't think it was wrong for Samson to lie to her about it. What I do think was wrong... It's for him to be with her in the first place, but also to tell her the truth about it, because that's what ultimately destroyed him, was telling the truth about his strength, which, you know, ultimately ended his demise. So, in closing here, Zechariah chapter 8, verse 16. This is what we should focus on. So, obviously, not, you know, these are special situations in the Bible where this took place, but we should be honest. We should tell the truth to our neighbor. We should not bear false witness. We should not deceive and talebear and lie and all these things that it's talking about. This should be put far away from us. It should not be named among us, these things that, you know, these lies and these different things that you see the world doing, and you see the devil doing, you see the devil's people doing. That should not be how Christians do things and operate. We should be honest in our dealings and honest in our workings and honest with fellow Christians. We should be honest with our bosses and our coworkers. We should be honest to our family and loved ones. And we should be honest with ourselves. Amen. Honest with ourselves. And we should be honest with God. Look at Zechariah 8:16. It says, These are the things that ye shall do. Speak ye every man the truth to his neighbor. Execute the judgment and truth and peace in your gates. And you know what? If you do those things, you're doing well. You're not going to try to hurt your neighbor. You're not going to try to come and speak lies to other people. You're going to do what's right and what's good in the eyes of the Lord. Lying's a wicked sin that people go to hell for. And the devil's lies, and the devil lies and he deceives the whole world. And Christians should be known for truth and honesty. Don't lie to God or fellow Christians or yourself. And that's it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much. For this commandment, Lord, I pray you'd help us as Christians to realize just how wicked our lies are and how much they can hurt people. And Lord, just how much it can hurt our testimony. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to raise our children in truth and not let them get away with lies, Lord. And I pray that you'd help us to be honest to each other and honest and forthright with everything we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
All right, our last song is song number 353, From Every Stormy Wind. Song 353, From Every Stormy Wind. Sing it out. out on the first. From every stormy wind that blows, from every swelling tide of woes, there is a calm, a sure retreat, 'tis found beneath the mercy seat. There is a place where Jesus sheds the oil of gladness on our heads, a place than all besides more sweet. It is the blood-bought mercy seat. Brother Ramon, could you close with a prayer?
Yes, Heavenly Father, thank you so much for that great sermon, Lord. I just pray that you would always keep that in mind, Lord, the wicked sin that lying is. Lord, just pray that you bless us as we go out soul winning, bless our fellowship as we eat, and just pray bless this day in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.